This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, and Happy New Year to all of you as we go into 2022. I know we've had a lot of issues during the year of 2021 and 2020 with the pandemic and so many things that it has impacted. However, we're going in with a new slate, a new mindset at the very least. And with us is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders. Happy New Year and welcome back, Joe McKenzie.
Happy New Year, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Ready to start off this new year and to see what we can do to make it better than the last couple of years anyway.
Yeah, let's do that because I believe we're going on our eighth year of talking to the New Beginnings listeners. And I think the challenges of the last couple of years, you know, we got to be on the top of our game to make sure that we provide those actionable steps and the resources so people can make the most of their lives and their careers.
Absolutely. And it's so fitting that we're talking about resolving to have a meaningful career in 2022. A lot of people make resolutions, but resolving, in this case, I think it's just deciding to have a meaningful growth pattern in your career. Now, let's talk about that right now. Let's talk about that decision point, Joe McKenzie.
Well, I think it is a decision point. It's deciding that you want more. It's deciding that you want meaningful growth and you select yourself for this. And it's not waiting for someone to tell you. It's you take those steps. You get out of your comfort zone. You find ways to grow meaningfully. And it doesn't always mean in the workplace. And that's why I want to provide some examples, potential examples today for somebody, but also next week, some actionable steps, Freddie. So 2022 is the year for your meaningful growth.
Joe, I know a lot of people are listening right now and the warning signs are going, the red lights are flashing, danger zone, out of my comfort zone. Joe McKenzie, what can we do to help those people feel a little bit better about that stretch that you're talking about to have meaningful growth in this year?
Well, I think that it starts with a granular approach to your meaningful growth. You don't go all in and say, okay, I'm going to go take this seminar and travel and set up, you know, this many speaking gigs, what have you. Let's get some momentum for your growth so you see some of the benefits and get into that rhythm of meaningful growth. And I think that helps you to gradually draw you out of your comfort zone. Do you agree with that, Freddie, that take a granular approach to this type of growth steps in the new year?
Absolutely. I like the smaller steps. They say the best way to eat an elephant is one small bite at a time.
That's very true. I've heard that many times. And I think if you just think about it, that as the approach, everybody that is open to it, taking a granular approach will help if there's that apprehension and you're not ready to select yourself for meaningful growth. Well, let's try it. Let's audit. Let's make some small steps and see how that feels and build upon that.
That makes a lot of sense, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie, the co-host on New Beginnings in 2022. We're talking about resolving to have meaningful growth in your career. So that's an action step in itself. What's a key opportunity or what's one way that we can do something right now? What is an idea that comes to mind when we first start talking about granular steps or small steps or a small bite of the apple that we can employ right now, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I think reflect upon where you're at in your career and where you've been wanting new challenges or seeking out new opportunities. And it usually starts there because the workplace doesn't always present you with those growth opportunities. You may have to go out and seek them on your own. But at the end of the day, if you grow and you try new things and you get outside your comfort zone and you meet new people that have different leadership ideas or problem solving ideas, all that can be taken back to your workplace, right?
That's right.
And so knowing that if you're going to wait for someone to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to go to this seminar, then you may be waiting for some time. I think the step has to be, what am I yearning for? What new challenges am I looking for? How do I want to better myself in the new year? And let combine that with something, some opportunities in the Twin Cities that will present and give me those results.
So those opportunities are not only in the Twin Cities, but they're around the country. There could be a virtual conference. Virtual living is our life. It has been our lives for the last couple of years or so. So you're saying being open to attending these conferences for not only outside of our workplace, but inside the workplace as well?
That's right. If you see that within the workplace, but also see something that's completely different than your industry, but you know that at deep down there's something there that allows you to grow, that exchange of new ideas or approaches that you can bring back to your workplace, you should be open to that too. And, you know, I like, on New Beginnings, I've always tried to give plant seeds, okay, of different ideas. And I comfortably say that everybody has a different idea of how they're going to grow. Everybody has a different stage of their career. So I've got some ideas that, you know, maybe someone can take it and make it their own. And that's their meaningful growth for 2022. And, you know, Freddie, it could be as simple as seeking out a mentor or becoming a mentor. Mm-hmm. Often when we collaborate or work with another person, we can grow from that, right?
We can.
So I know I've benefited from having very good mentors in my career, but I've also benefited from being a mentor to a few people along the way as well, because it could be generational. It could be a different industry. I may learn from that person. So even just the thought of mentoring, being a mentor or seeking out a mentor, that could be that one step towards meaningful growth in 2022. That could be something someone that's hearing us today is considering or now considering, because we brought that up in that equates to professional meaningful growth.
Very interesting. Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about resolving to have meaningful growth in your career during this brand new year. We've already talked about just making that decision to have meaningful growth and then to take some really forward steps in making sure that it happens. You talked about volunteering and being open to going to conferences or seminars on the job site or off the job site, being a mentor or being a mentee. These things can really turn the tide for someone who is looking to ratchet up the quality of their career, correct?
Absolutely. You never know what conference or what person you meet or what volunteer opportunity connects you to another idea or another person or another way to solve a problem or another way for you to stretch, set some goals that are even stretchier in 2023. You just never know. But I know that I've often said nothing's 100%, but it's 0% if you never take that step. And it could be someone you're mentoring or a new mentor or that volunteer opportunity or that seminar that gives you that nugget of information or how to solve a problem or how to help you become better at solving problems or more creative that you bring back. So the reason I want this list to be a little bit longer is to allow for everybody to have something here today and say, you know, I never really thought about, hey, maybe I should consider taking up writing. Maybe start with writing a LinkedIn article and publish a topic that you're the subject content expert on. It's a short article, but you refine your writing skills. You may be looking at a blog. And Freddie, that might be the basis for writing your first book. And that's something that you've experienced in the last year, writing your first book. That didn't just happen. That took time. That was a professional growth period for you, right?
Absolutely. Time is certainly a factor in it. It took quite a while to get that first manuscript out, then the second, then the third, and then all the other steps that are required to publishing a book that's second nature to a lot of people. But what I've learned, you don't know until you start. And I think the key of what you're sharing with us this weekend is to start on that path to have a more meaningful career in 2022.
That's exactly right. And that's decision making, you know, resolve, you know, you set yourself on a a firm course of action for that growth. And if you have that resolve to stick to it, then it should be right there for you in March and April and going forward into the year. Because often if it doesn't happen right away in January and you don't have that resolve, then we forget about it. But keeping it top of mind, and that's why it's so important to have a granular approach. Attend one conference. I know in the next couple of weeks, I'm a member of a civic club here in the Twin Cities, and I'm looking forward to a mid-year district convention because I want to learn. I want to bring that back to my role here in the Twin Cities and nonprofit as well as my civic club. I'm looking forward to that. That's my first step this year.
Wow.
But I don't know what's going to come from that.
We don't. And we have a lot more to say about this. Joe, we're out of time. We have to leave it right there, but we'll have part two next week. And as we did in 2021, you do a fine job. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our show continues right now.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to rippleconnects.com.
You're likely listening to this at home, in your car, or somewhere warm. How would you feel if you were left in the bitter cold all night long, chained up? Please, take your dogs inside. Your dog is not going to be smarter or tougher because you make him suffer. Your dog is your partner. Treat him like a partner. If you're not respecting your animals, you're not respecting yourself. Do not leave your animals out in the cold. Please visit PETA.org to learn more.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast. Featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a bully, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover.
Not for fun, just so he can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and welcome to the financial game show, Ignore It or Deal With It. This is when you decide whether the money issues you're facing truly matter or not. The prize for successfully navigating these situations is reduced anxiety and better decision making. There's no consolation prize. The Cremettes got hung up due to supply chain issues. Here goes. Your diversified investments have dropped from their previous highs. Ignore it? Don't ignore things like rebalancing, but markets go both up and down. So if you are invested correctly for an appropriate time horizon, then quit paying so much attention to daily price movements. You're getting older. Decide what to do with the cabin where you've created so many family memories. Deal with it. It may not matter if you want the cabin to stay in the family if your kids don't want it. And understand this, if the kids would not buy a cabin together, they probably don't want to own one together. Call a family meeting and allow everyone to openly express what they want and then act on it. Your neighbors are driving their new car to the airport where they're heading to their newly purchased vacation home. Ignore it. How someone else spends their money doesn't need to affect how you spend yours. You are uncomfortable with how much money you have or don't have. Deal with it. Discomfort is not something to be ignored. People with money often have irrational fears of losing it. This prevents them from doing meaningful things, either creating experiences or making charitable decisions. On the other hand, when people with little money come into a windfall, they can fall victim to an illusion of wealth and end up giving it all away. Understand the whys of your money choices before you act, not after. Here's another one. The headlines are all saying that the market fell because of a new COVID-19 variant. Ignore it. The only meaningful headlines are those depicting a long-term impact on corporate earnings. When we are feeling anxious, we often want to do something, but making trades is not the answer. In fact, research from Barber and Odine has shown that women are generally better investors than men, partly because they trade less frequently. For a winning strategy, distinguish between the money issues that are important and those that don't matter. Spend your life wisely. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Moving from money to talking about your health, and we do that often here on New Beginnings, a surging number of people in the United States are skipping medical treatments they need because of the cost, that according to a new poll. And that poll conducted by Gallup and West Health found that the percentage of people skipping these treatments reached a new high during the COVID-19 pandemic. It also found that the pandemic has worsened views of the American healthcare system. The poll was conducted over successive field periods of September 27th through the 30th and from October 18th through the 21st. It included 6,600 adults living in the United States and has a margin of error of plus or minus 2.2 percentage points for response percentages around 50% and plus or minus 1.3 percentage points for response percentages around 10% or 90%. 30% of respondents said they or someone in their household had a health problem over the last 3 months that they did not seek medical treatment for because of the cost of care. That's up 14% in a survey conducted in June and 10% in a March survey. It is also the highest reported number since the COVID-19 pandemic began, that according to West Health. The poll also found 30% of adults say they would not have access to affordable care if they needed it today. That's up from 22% in June, according to the Gallup. An additional 23% said healthcare costs are a major financial burden on their family. And 71% agreed that their household pays too much for the quality of health care they receive. 42% say they are worried that they won't be able to pay for needed health care services in the next year. The poll also found that people in the United States are increasingly forgoing drugs prescribed to them. 14% of respondents say that over the last 3 months, they've not been able to pay for medicine their doctor prescribed for them. That's up double from 7% in June and 6% in March. And Americans have reached their breaking point, that according to Shelley Lyford, the president and CEO of West Health. Between March and October, the percentage of people reporting trouble paying for health care, skipping treatments, and not filling their prescriptions spiked to their highest levels since the pandemic began, exacerbating another public health threat born out of the cost rather than illness. And finally, Gallup and West Health note that inflation and other factors related to the pandemic are likely behind these trends. the Consumer Price Index, which measures the average change over time in the prices urban consumers pay for goods and services, rose 6.8% over a year in November, the largest yearly increase since June of 1982. Let's go from the poll and start talking about what we can be doing right now. Age brings unique opportunities and obligations, including some important year-end tasks that can help us to make the most of our money. For people 50 and older, here are some things to consider. If you're still employed, use a retirement calculator to see if you should boost your savings rate. Catch-up contributions could allow you to save more in tax-advantaged accounts. Someone who is 50 or older can contribute up to $26,000 to a workplace 401k in 2021 and up to $7,000 to an IRA, that according to Mark Luscombe, who is a principal analyst for Walters Kluwer Tax and Accounting. You have until December 31st to contribute to workplace plans for 2021 and until April 15th to make your 2021 IRA contributions. The ability to contribute to a Roth in 2021 phases out beginning at modified adjustment gross income of $125,000 for singles and $198,000 for married couples filing jointly. Slightly different rules apply for health savings accounts, which are paired with qualifying high-deductible health insurance plans, according to Luscombe. He says contribution limits for 2021 are $3,600 for people with individual coverage and $7,200 for people with family coverage. People 55 and older can make an additional catch-up contribution of $1,000. As with IRAs, he says you have until the tax filing deadline of April 15th to contribute for the year. Meanwhile, money can't stay in retirement accounts indefinitely. We all know that. Withdrawals must begin at some point, typically at age 72. If you miss a deadline or withdraw too little, you could face a tax penalty equal to 50% of the amount you should have withdrawn but did not. The IRS specifies a minimum you need to take each year based on your December 31st account balance for the prior year. You must typically take your distributions by the end of the year, although you can delay your first required minimum distribution, also known as the RMD, until April 1st of the year after you turn 72. If you delay, you'll have to take a second RMD by the end of that year. That according to Mary Kay Foss, she's a member of the American Institute of CPAs Individual and Self-Employment Tax Committee. She says you can put off RMDs from a workplace plan such as a 401k if you're still working for that company that sponsors the plan and you don't own 5% or more of the company. And finally, there are no RMDs for Roth IRAs during the account owner's lifetime. You can also avoid required minimum distributions through qualified charitable distributions from your IRA, and these can start once you're 70 and a half. The money must be transferred directly from the IRA to a qualified charity. Taking a look and helping you with your money and your health this weekend, as always, on New Beginnings. You can hear us each weekend right here on your favorite radio station. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event!
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thanks for being with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And joining us right now is the former advisor to the Biden administration with regard to the virus and the pandemic. It's Dr. Michael Osterholm. And he says things have changed rapidly since the onset of Omicron. And he's telling us what we've learned so far.
Well, in the U.S., I think there's about a snowball's chance in hell that we'll see any comparable response from a standpoint of wide-scale restrictions. The U.S. public is over with this pandemic. They're done, despite the fact the virus is not done with them. And as we now know with Monday's news, Omicron is now the dominant variant in this country, accounting for an estimated 73% of new cases in the country just 20 days after it was first detected. I really worry about what's in store for us in those weeks ahead. So where are we now that Omicron has taken the torch from Delta? Well, as of Tuesday, the average 7-day daily cases in the country sits at about 143,000 cases, up from 122,000 cases reported yesterday. 268,000 cases were reported. So as you can anticipate, the 7-day moving average is going to start going up substantially. Hospitalizations have also continued to grow, with nearly 69,000 Americans currently admitted with COVID. And finally, we're still seeing an average of 1,300 Americans die from the virus each day. While a growing number of these cases are Omicron, a vast majority of the hospitalizations and deaths are the baselines driven by Delta hotspots, primarily those states in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. Well, now we're seeing Omicron's impact in places like New York City, where cases have risen by 277% in the past 2 weeks, propelling the state to record high levels. What will this mean for healthcare systems in New York? We don't know. Remember, upstate New York has already been struggling with the Delta surge. What will happen in places like Rhode Island, which leads the country in cases per capita, despite having one of the highest vaccination rates in the U.S., with 75% of its entire population fully vaccinated? Recently, a group of emergency doctors in the state already warned that their healthcare systems are currently collapsing. Even in the Midwest, will we see a resurgence in Michigan and Minnesota? Our healthcare systems are still in disarray from Delta. And finally, there are the signs of upticks in the South, with Florida reporting a 300% increase in cases over the past 2 weeks and Georgia reporting a 100% increase. I worry desperately about what the next month or two could mean for our country's healthcare systems. In many states, they're already broken. As I mentioned earlier, imagine if 10 to 30% of the healthcare workers in this country become infected and were expected to isolate for up to 10 days. It's a realistic possibility. In parts of South Africa, around 20% of the healthcare workers were infected with Omicron. We're hearing of similar reports out of the UK. What will this mean for our ability over the next 3 to 8 weeks to provide healthcare in this country? Meanwhile, we have a public that is largely done with this pandemic. A recent poll showed that more than half the country has moved on from taking any precautions. And much like we saw during Thanksgiving, travel in this country during the holidays is projected to be at or near pre-pandemic levels. What will make a difference? Well, if you haven't gotten your first or second dose, you should do so as soon as possible. Also, I want to remind everyone that one or two doses of vaccine at this point may offer only very limited, if any, protection at all in terms of even serious disease. Remember, it's that third dose right now that is going to be so important. But you need to get it right now. Here we have only 30% of U.S. residents who are fully vaccinated by the old definition of two doses, who have then gone on, when eligible at 6 months, to get their third dose. I hate calling those booster doses. I believe that the three-dose series should be considered just that, a series. It's not a booster dose. It's the third dose. We should make that a national standard as soon as possible. But even if you're waiting to get your third dose and you get it today, you're still talking about 7 to 14 days before you see that additional new protection kick in. That's well into the next year. That's well past the holiday season. It still may help you with this viral blizzard that's going to occur throughout the month of January. But please get in now. Don't think that you can go in and get a booster dose on Christmas Eve morning and feel perfectly safe going to a family event on Christmas Eve night. It won't work that way. So you need to get those three doses. Any dose right now, take it. It may offer protection, but know that it should be the three-dose approach. So at this point, clearly, vaccination is going to be a critical part of what we each can do to protect ourselves. If you don't have the luxury of having a third dose of vaccine on board at least 14 days ago, there still are other things you can do to better protect yourself. First of all, you understand that distancing is important, very important. I know people hate the term lockdown. I understand that. I know it'll never happen again. So all of you who might think that I don't get it, I do. But the bottom line is that did play a role in the earlier part of the pandemic in reducing transmission. If you're not in large social circles, if you're not in the public, you can't get exposed to this if, in fact, no one else in your household are also in those same settings. Now, the reality is that's not going to happen for many situations because you have to work. People who are essential workers have to go out into the public. People travel. So what we have to keep reminding people is that, in fact, just know that even being fully vaccinated and using my definition of three doses, you still may be at risk of having a breakthrough infection. In terms of testing, I wish I could say to you right now that the rapid tests are the answer, but we're waiting to get clarification what we call these lateral flow tests because we're getting a number of reports of what appear to be false negative results in the early days of people's illness, meaning that they do show up positive on PCR testing, but not on lateral flow. So yes, use them. Yes, you know, at this point, consider them, particularly if you're ill. But at the same time, don't make that your absolute answer as to why you do what you do and don't do, because we do have concerns with their potential for false negative results. Another thing, again, is the issue of respiratory protection. I've spoken to this issue so many times. Good quality respiratory protection. Use an N95 or a KN95. Make sure it's fitted as tight as it can be to your face. There are adequate supplies of these right now. And in fact, we do not have to worry about whether they will be available for healthcare workers. There are enough of these. So you can do a lot to protect yourself when you're in public settings to use a N95 respirator. I don't believe it'll happen in most cases in family settings. People just don't feel comfortable in houses with family and wearing their N95. So be it. But the bottom line, it's another element of protection. We will have more information soon on what the actual impact will be for Omicron in our communities, what happens to healthcare, what happens to everyday life as we know it. In fact, will it be over with in 8 weeks? I think it surely could rise and fall that quickly. Doesn't mean it'll go away at the end of 8 weeks, but this major thrust of cases we're seeing now may be well over. So I hope this gives you a sense that we still have a lot to learn about this variant, but everything we learn leaves me in a sense of awe of what it is doing, how it is doing it. And in addition to not only the physical damage, but the psychological damage, coming after 2 years, coming at a time of the holiday season, coming when people are tired, believing that they have gone through the worst of it. And for some locations in this country, you can't imagine, after having just been through a 3 to 4 month surge of Delta, that now you have to deal with this. So we will keep you posted in the days ahead, and just know that we're all in this together.
Dr. Osterholm, the president just released the nation's response to Omicron. What's your reaction to his plan, and how do you think Americans will respond to it?
I think most people know that I was a member of the Biden transition team for COVID from November of 2020 until January of 2021. I spent my time in that transition team impressed with the fact that I believe this administration wanted to do whatever it could to bring COVID under control. Surely they've been throwing a lot of curveballs. These 210-mile curveballs I keep talking about have landed multiple times. So let me just, from that perspective, share with you my initial response to what I'm seeing come forward as the new plan. First of all, it's divided in areas. Increased support for hospitals, robust access to free testing, and expanding capacity to get shots in arms. Let me put this all in the context of what we need right now is a plan to help us get through the next 2 to 8 weeks, a time period when we're going to see this viral blizzard. Now, we surely need long-term plans beyond 8 weeks, but this is the crisis. Right now is when we are going to be severely challenged in ways that I don't think we have been since the beginning of the pandemic. The president has announced several steps to ensure states and healthcare systems across the country have the personnel, beds, and supplies that they need. First of all, in deploying additional medical personnel, they've announced that there will be an additional 1,000 military troops to deploy to COVID-burdened hospitals throughout the country. This will include military doctors, nurses, and paramedics. They will also deploy federal medical personnel that are currently available to states immediately. At this time, there are over 100 clinical personnel and paramedics deployed to 6 different states working on Delta. And then they're going to activate the FEMA response teams to help states and hospitals add capacity at a local and regional level. They also are going to provide ongoing financial support to states to help hospitals create and license more beds. And finally, deploying hundreds of ambulances and emergency medical teams to transport patients to open beds. Now, I welcome any support we can get, but this really is going to have very limited impact in the next 3 to 8 weeks. Why? Because 1,000 troops, basically over a 50-state area in this country, is a dilution factor second to none. Remember, I already pointed out that we have 22 million healthcare workers in this country, 9.8 million MDs, RNs, and other highly skilled technologists, as well as 5.3 million nurses, aides, home healthcare aides, etc. Well, in this situation, if you look at the troops, if you look at the federal personnel, if you look at FEMA teams, which often actually use local people who have signed up to be on these teams, who are right now currently being needed where they're at, the fact that FEMA is going to provide several hundred millions of dollars to expand hospital capacity is not going to happen in 3 to 8 weeks. And even deploying the ambulances and emergency medical teams are going to be a challenge because they too, again, are often needed in the location they come from. In terms of providing critical supplies, it's surely a positive thing that the U.S. government can take from the Strategic National Stockpile things like N95 respirators and ventilators and make them readily available. Finally, the plan to provide robust access to free testing is in itself also a challenge. Surely they're going to make an effort to stand up more free testing, but this is not going to happen in this short period of time. It's just simply not. And so from that perspective, I think the most important thing is to engage local healthcare systems with state and local governments to say, okay, you've been handed this horrible mess. It's like the tornado came through your town. What are you going to do now? And things such as, how will we get healthcare workers who have been infected back to work as quickly as possible? Can we cut short their quarantine times?
Dr. Osterholm, unfortunately, we have to leave it right there, but thank you so much for being with us. And New Beginnings continues right now.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're likely listening to this at home, in your car, or somewhere warm. How would you feel if you were left in the bitter cold all night long, chained up? Please, take your dogs inside. Your dog is not going to be smarter or tougher because you made him suffer. Your dog is your partner. Treat him like a partner. If you're not respecting your animals, you're not respecting yourself. Do not leave your animal out in the cold. Please visit PETA to learn more.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Well, let us now begin. At the turning point of time, I love that phrase. It reminds me at year's end, we have this wonderful shift. And it's not just flipping over the calendar like Nancy does in the office to January. At the turning point of time, we are called to make that shift, to be clear about what we are leaving behind and what we are entering. And that we are, in truth, the same spirit and soul that carries from one time into the future. We'll talk a little more about the symbolism as we get ready to prepare for the actual burning bowl ceremony. But we can acknowledge this morning that by the end of this week, the new year of 2022 will soon be upon us. And today we're going to have a little time to, with intention, look at this turning point in our life, in our church, our city, our world, and what's actually happening in this shift. I want to begin with this brief section from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore me with a sense of being brand new. Do not throw me far away from your presence. Do not remove your spirit from me. Give back to me the deep delight in knowing that I am always in your presence. And that your willing spirit is always for my highest good. The wisdom of the Psalms. I know for myself that sometimes it's important, not sometimes, it's always important at a shift like the end of the year and the beginning of the new, to take up an inner inventory. What am I afraid to let go of? What am I afraid to walk into? What needs to change in me? I have a friend back in Kansas City, and I'm sure she would allow me to share this little story, not by name, but one year I commented that I was setting up for the burning bowl ceremony, and she said, well, I won't be there that Sunday. I have nothing in my life that I need to change or let go. I said, oh, how wonderful for you. I think just like we are taught by this amazing body we each have, by the rhythm of our breath. It's constantly teaching us that we take in . We can't stop there. We take in and we release. We take in and we release. There are many ancient practices, especially in forms of yoga, that teach us to really focus on this exercise of breathing, to be really aware of this rhythm. I, being very fond of the teachings of Rudolf Steiner in our study group here, in the early 20th century, he said, we can also practice breathing light. Not just air, but light. And what did he mean by that? At least as I understand it. Breathing light is when we breathe ourselves out consciously into the world and gather all the sensations and experiences. And then we breathe back into our consciousness and in our inner life make meaning and priorities and awaken from all these things we've drawn in from the outer world. Charles Fillmore called our inner life pivotal, like the hinge on one of these sanctuary doors. If we pay attention, we see how our soul pivots out into the world, gathering experience, sensations, sights, sounds, relationships, gathering all this wonder and good, and then our soul pivots back like a hinge to our inner life, where our soul builds value and importance and sees what really counts. For Steiner, he described that as breathing light out into the world, breathing back in to the very center of our being. Any practice that you choose, it may be through music, it may be through artistic endeavors. Anything that allows you to experience this wonderful rhythm of life that takes you beyond yourself and then rhythmically brings you back to yourself. In Steiner's Art of Movement, Eurythmy, he did a simple exercise. The O sound is like our unity hugs. It's reaching out and gathering from the world. And then to balance it, he uses the A sound, which is, I establish myself. So this gathering from the world and then returning to myself, to the I am. So whether it's a breathing exercise, an exercise in consciousness, as I've just described, or this end of year and beginning of a new year, you have the opportunity. And you'll benefit from the degree that you focus attention upon this rhythm. I'm in the world. I'm in myself. We live between those two extremes. That's really where the action is. It's not just being in the world.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.